I'm Derek Russell.
And I'm Brad Locke, and this is The Memo,
a gathering of all things Northeast Mississippi, brought to you by The Daily Journal and DJournal.com. Hey, everybody, welcome to The Memo. It is Monday, April 4th. This is our 94th episode, Brad.
Wow, 94.
Wow, that was fake. You could not have been more canned in that response.
I was trying to act surprised.
Oh, sorry.
Even though I already knew it was 94. So we're coming up on 100.
We'd like to know what you think we should do for our 100th episode.
Email us at memo@journalinc.com. Actually, what we're going to do is we're going to ask Lauren and Ellie or Emma or whoever.
I think we should do it from like an airplane.
What they think we should do.
And then skydive.
And this is why we're asking Lauren and the other ladies
skydive for ideas. Podcast. I'm sure that could happen. Why couldn't that happen?
It'd be a pretty short podcast. I mean, how long does it take to go from the plane to the ground, assuming the parachute
How long does it
deploys?
Take to die? Not long.
I mean.
Yeah, what it depends on whether or not you use parachutes.
Yeah, if the parachute doesn't deploy, then radians are through the roof, just like the ground is through your skull.
Yeah,
that's
exactly. You're going down, ratings go up.
Yes, it, you can almost track it.
Inversely proportional.
Yeah, be a heck of a way to go out.
Yeah,
sure would.
We close on 100.
Keeping it
one of those wing suits, like you see in all the movies now.
Yeah.
Like the gliding or the base jumping suits.
There you go.
I don't think you can do it from that height.
We could just hang glide, except there's nowhere to hang glide around here.
Hang glide out of an airplane, you'd like get stuck in the propeller.
We have no mountains around here to hang glide off of.
No, we do not. We have the Bancorp South mirrored building downtown.
That's about it. Yeah.
That's it.
We use Contour Airlines.
I wonder what the highest point. Oh, sponsorship opportunity. We'd like to skydive out of your first flight for our 100th episode. What is the tallest building here, I wonder?
Tallest building?
The tallest building.
Tupelo, it's that. Yeah,
is it the Bancorp South?
That would have been my guess, yeah.
Is it tall? Yeah, it's taller than the Renaissance.
What about Harrisburg, the top of the steeple?
That's pretty tall.
You know, when that was being built, they wanted to put a cell phone tower in the steeple. But they fought so bad for that because the height near the trace.
Yeah.
Was real problematic.
Yeah, true. We could base jump off Harrisburg. They'd go for that.
I don't think we could both get on that steeple, Brad.
True. I don't know. We have to go scout it out.
We'll think on this.
I'm sure they'd be cool with it.
What about the woods in Moorville?
No, we're not. Oh.
Oh yeah, we've got some more Moorville shenanigans today, by the way.
Does it involve the woods?
No. I mean, maybe, but it doesn't say explicitly.
Could you lie to me and make it about the
woods? We can assume it involves the woods. I bet it does.
I'm going to go ahead and assume the woods are involved.
Probably so.
The anticipation's killing me.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah. We got crime reports today, people, so stay tuned for that.
Hey, happy opening day, Brad.
That's right. Well, Cardinals lost, but
Cardinals did lose
yesterday.
They had a pre-opening day, but today's the real opening day.
Everybody else played. There's like three games yesterday. Like, just do it all at once.
Yeah.
Okay. Because today's not really opening day because it's already happened.
Yeah. Especially at three. They used to have one primetime Sunday night game, which I guess. But,
whatever.
Yeah.
Yeah. But anyway, yeah. It's one game. It doesn't matter.
Giants play Milwaukee today.
They'll probably
120,
win.
115, 120.
Okay. Yeah. I'm excited. So anyway, enough about baseball. What else we got to talk about today?
Episode 100. We need to work on that.
Oh, yeah. We need to work on that.
Okay. Put a pin in it. We'll come back around.
All right. We'll consult with our experts.
I think we'll be going down to Jackson today.
Not us, literally.
No, we could do that. That's what we need to do for 100. We need to go down to the legislation and live broadcast.
Live broadcast.
Like dodgeball.
From the well there in the legislative room.
It's a bold move, Cotton. Chamber. Let's see if it pays off for him.
Yeah.
Two of the greatest movie characters ever created.
So we're going to talk to Bobby Harrison from Jackson about this controversial.
Have we got a theme song going now? Every time you say we're going down Jackson, I think we need to play the Johnny Cash
and June Carter song. Hotter than going to Jackson.
Pepper sprout.
Hotter than a pepper sprout.
That's right.
Chris, like, did I get it?
I got that. I looked that up.
Also, Dennis Sid joining us to talk more about Hancock Fabrics closing down. That's a huge thing. I find it ironic. You guys may have talked about this the other day that the old Hancock Fabrics building being torn down within a matter of a couple of weeks of the actual business being closed.
Good point. We didn't talk about that.
I just find that funny. My dad used to work there eons ago when it was. you know, before Block Corporation there across from Ballard Park.
And, yeah, West Main. Right.
And now being torn down just a matter of days before the whole thing.
Yeah, I drove by the other day and just happened to, I hadn't driven by there and noticed it lately. And I guess they just did it recently. It's just kind of a stark image there. Like, whoa.
Well, and, you know, the past few weeks we've been driving to Baldwin. We passed that huge complex every night heading to practice. And Brad, and that's a huge facility. I just don't know what's going to happen there. It's a gorgeous building, too.
Yeah, it is.
On the inside.
Yeah. Good friends of mine who worked there. So,
yeah.
Talking to them and hoping that.
Yeah, it stinks.
They all land on their feet soon.
Dennis Schwartz, then we'll apparently be taken to Morville, where I'm going to assume we're going into the woods.
Going into the woods of Morville on crime reports again today. Let's go down to Jackson. Not literally, like I said, we'll stay here. But we'll get on the phone here. We got Bobby Harrison, Capital Bureau Chief, joining us now. Bobby, how's it going?
Brad, how you doing?
Doing all right, man. Got a big story that's been developing the last few days, and of course we'll be following it this week. The House Bill 1523, the gay marriage objection bill, I guess is one way to term it. It's passed the Senate and now is eventually, we believe, going to wind up on the desk of Governor Phil Bryant, and that could happen just any time this week, couldn't it?
It could happen as early as this afternoon, Brad. The House actually approved it Friday. You know, it was originally a House bill. The House approved it earlier this session. It went to the Senate. Senate made some minor changes to it and sent it back to the House, and the House voted Friday to concur in those changes. But on any final vote in the legislative process, you have a right to enter a motion to reconsider, and Friday a motion to reconsider was entered on that bill, which means that it has to pass again. Essentially means it has to pass again by a majority vote. So to not pass the bill, you'd have to change roughly 15 to 16 votes, I believe. So it's likely that it'll end up on the governor's desk this week, as I said earlier, as early as today.
And Phil Bryant not letting on whether he's going to sign it. He seems to be playing this pretty close to the vest.
Well, it's created a bit of a national stir. Nissan has issued a pretty strong statement against it. Toyota issued a statement, not as strong as Nissan's probably, but in this weekend, Mississippi Economic Council, which is the state's chamber of commerce, essentially issued a statement expressing their opposition to the bill. And in a nutshell, Brad, I mean, what the bill does, it does several things. I think the main thing it does is, or it sort of, it has everyday effects. Say if the gay couple went into a circuit clerk's office to apply for a marriage license, this bill gives the clerk the option to issue a statement recusing him or herself from issuing a marriage license to the same-sex couple. But in the bill, it says that the license still has to be issued in a prompt manner. It has very specific language. I can't remember that language off the top of my head, but very specific sort of legalistic language saying that marriage license has to be issued by somebody promptly, but the question occurs if the clerk recuses him or herself, and in a small courthouse, may not be but two or three people working in the circuit clerk's office. So if everybody recuses him or herself from issuing the marriage license on religious grounds, then who issues the marriage license? And that's what's probably going to end up in court if this bill does become law. And a lot of people who oppose it, like Nissan or the MEC, for instance, their opposition is the bill is putting Mississippi in a bad light, especially based on its past or in its segregationist past. So they're saying, why do we want to pass something else that puts us in the light of discriminating against a certain group of people? So that's sort of the debate as we move forward this week with the one more vote in the House pending before it gets to the governor's desk.
And just to clarify, does this bill pertain only to like marriage licenses, not to businesses providing services or anything like that?
Well, I mean, it does provide the service. It does. It has, say, you know, it lists in there a wedding planner or, you know, a restaurant, for instance, may not want to, based on religious grounds, may not want to host a reception, a wedding reception or another event for a same-sex marriage. But as numerous people have pointed out, Mississippi law does not have, it is not in law now that a business can't discriminate. I mean, technically, if you walked into a restaurant, Brad, if you walked in and somebody said, I don't want to serve you because you're a mustache, under Mississippi law, that is not prohibited. Federal law has...
The heck it's not.
Federal law has... has you know, in place, so a business can't discriminate against a certain class of people. But there's nothing in state law. So what this bill is doing, some people would argue, is raising objections that don't exist in state law, because right now a business is not prohibited by state law from saying, I don't want to serve you because I have a religious objection to a to serving a gay couple, or, you know, and the bill also deals with religious services and a minister not having to perform a gay wedding. But no one, I mean, you know, that's constitutionally protected. No one's going to tell a church what type of service it should or shouldn't do. That's constitutionally protected. So in a certain extent, the bill is dealing with issues that don't exist in the state. I mean, some states, like especially some of the more progressive states, like maybe Washington or Oregon or California, do have provisions in law saying that you can't discriminate against a gay couple. If the gay couple walks into a flower shop and says, you know, I want weddings for our wedding, the Florida has to provide those services, but that's not the case in Mississippi under existing law.
Now, obviously a very divisive issue, and there's a story the AP had that we ran today talking about how just kind of highlighting that, and you've got, you know, these the politicians and other people involved in this issue, you know, that normally are friends, but this issue is kind of, you know, driven a wedge between them. You know, they gave an example of Rob Hill, Mississippi, leads the Mississippi chapter of the Human Rights Coalition, and he's friends with someone who voted for this bill, Briggs Hobson, Republican from Vicksburg. You know, it's an example, I guess, Bobby, of trying to walk that fine line between not discriminating, but as the bill states anyway, protecting religious freedom, so to speak.
Yeah, that's right. And in both the House and the Senate, it was pretty much a breakdown along party lines. All the Republicans in the Senate voted for it, including Briggs Hobson, he just mentioned from Vicksburg, even though he did express some concerns about it in committee. Right. And most of the Democrats, not all the Democrats, voted against it. In the House, all but a couple of Democrats voted against it, and I think four or five Republicans voted against it. And the Republicans who voted against it, generally speaking, were younger and from university towns, like Rob Robertson, he's from Starkville, voted against it. He's a Republican. And Toby Barker, a Republican from Hattiesburg, another young member, voted against it. But generally speaking, it was a breakdown on party lines.
All right. And before I let you go, Bobby, I want to touch real quick on a story you had on Sunday about the special education vouchers. A bill that would expand the number of students eligible for those vouchers to pursue private education options. Not quite to the governor's desk yet. What do we see next for that?
That's sort of in the same boat that the religious objections to gay marriage bill is, and that the Senate made changes to a House bill. So it's back in the House now where they can concur in those changes and send it to the governor. What this bill does, if you remember, I guess it was last year, it was a former state senator, Nancy Collins, who was from Tupelo, a Republican, who lost her reelection bid this past summer in the Republican primary. She was a big proponent of this measure, which would provide vouchers and scholarships for small group of special education students to leave the public schools and pursue private education options. There's some special ed parents said their children's needs were not being met in the public schools. So in the first year of the program, they had room for, I want to say, about 450 special ed students to apply for it, to participate in this voucher program, and they got about 330. Now this year, the legislation would, a special ed student has what you call a individualized education plan, IEP. And you can only get that IEP through the public schools. And under the original bill that passed last year, you had to receive an IEP in the past 18 months, meaning you'd had to be in the public schools fairly recently. Now, what the bill does this year will move that to, you have to have had an IEP within the past 5 years, which means that 4 years ago, a student could have had an IEP and then moved to a private school, and now they're eligible. They'd be eligible this year if that bill becomes law to apply for the special ed voucher and get help for their private education schooling, which they've been paying for themselves for the past 4 or 5 years. So it's just a matter of philosophy. Do we as a state want to help pay for students who are already in the private schools, or should that money just stay in the public schools? Now, actually, this bill, there's been so much going on this session and so many more overt voucher bills, if you will, that this bill really hadn't gotten much attention as it moved through the process. And it'd be interesting to get attention this week here at the end of the session. With so many things going on, if it would get more attention in the House than it has gotten so far.
All right. Thank you, Bobby, for joining us again. Y'all can follow Bobby on Twitter, by the way, at BobbyHarrison9. Thank you, sir.
All right. Thank y'all.
Watch the Daily Journal's Capital View webcast each Monday afternoon at djournal.com. Capital Bureau Chief Bobby Harrison provides commentary and analysis on the issues being debated by Mississippi lawmakers. Watch live each Monday afternoon at 2, or catch the replay later in the day. New episodes will be released as long as the legislature is in session, so look for a new episode this afternoon.
Dennis Sid joining us now to talk more about Hancock Fabrics store closings, and of course just the company folding altogether. A sad time for a staple of the Northeast Mississippi community. Dennis?
Good morning. Yeah, as we had mentioned Thursday, this is what we had feared and thought would happen, that the company that bid for what's left of Hancock Fabrics would indeed liquidate the stores, and they will liquidate the stores. Started Friday, I think the timeline is about 90 days. They're going to sell everything in the store, including equipment, fixtures, shelving, furnishings. If you want it, make an offer. Or, well, actually, they'll have a price on it. But
yeah, I don't think you can haggle on these.
Yeah. Toward the end, you may be able to make a case for that.
That one hanging light that's left on the last day. Exactly. Yeah, give me a penny. He might be able to get that. So, how many employees are we talking about here? So well over 4,000, correct?
According to their filing February 2nd, there were some 4,500 employees nationwide in the 255 stores. At the headquarters and warehouse in Baldwin, somewhere around 150. But we don't know those numbers now. I guess it's close because there's been a few folks.
I'm sure between
left.
Thursday and today that's changed.
Between February and Thursday, it's changed.
What's your drive for going to work even? I mean, in a situation like this, well, when you know it's the end of the line.
I guess it is a check until you find something better. You know, the most difficult part is that you have a lot of folks who have been there 20, 30 years. Yeah. This may be the only job they ever had.
Yeah.
So they're left thinking, what are we going to do? It'll also be tough for those who may have been about to retire because their pension, who knows what's going to happen with that. You'll hope that the Pension Benefit Guarantee Corporation will pick up their pensions. We'll see. I mean, it's a tough spot. It's no easy thing for anybody involved. If you on Facebook, there are a lot of mentions from people around the country who, they're disappointed that there's no Hancock Fabrics anymore, or there won't be. This is a choice for a lot of people to go to, but unfortunately, while sales are pretty stable over the past, 5 or 6 years, always around $270-$280 million, they just couldn't make any money. If you saw my story in Sunday's Journal, since 2007, they'd only made a profit, an annual profit, three times, actually from 2004, I think. So, if you stay in the red that long, writing is pretty much on the wall. I'm quite frankly surprised that they survived this long to before they filed Chapter 11.
Writing is on the wall now. They say store closing everywhere on the wall. I did really enjoy your story Sunday and the breakdown with the graphics and everything. Talking about the history, just where it started, obviously, I was telling Brad earlier, I find it ironic that the original building is being torn down in the process of the company now closing. The company was sold off by LD back in the 70s.
1972.
Yeah, so it's come a long way since then. But you, you talked to LD's daughter, Doyce, about just kind of the feelings of the family.
Right.
To see it close, it must be, I can only imagine how sad that is to see something that was built up and has been such a staple for so many years.
Yeah, I've seen a few comments, how could the Hancock family let this happen? Well, the Hancocks weren't involved with the company. It's been since, they divested their interests years ago. Mm-hmm. you know, the name is still on it, but they don't have any ties to the company anymore. And Deutsch thing, the biggest thing with Deutsch, and she said, it's the people that were left behind, you know. And she said her dad sold the business in order to protect the employees because he wanted to make sure it was financially sound. And when he sold it, it was for a good price. And they took care of the employees. You know, it grew to 500 stores at one time at its peak and $300 million in sales. But here we are, yep. Unfortunately.
Yeah, time has come today. Dennis, thanks for joining us.
Sure.
Be sure to check out the two sports podcasts we produce here at the Daily Journal and DJournal.com. Coming Wednesday, a new episode of Prep Rally. It's a high school sports podcast with myself and Gene Phelps. Gene is out this week, so we'll find somebody to fill in for him. But we'll be talking about what's going on with the high school sports in the area. You can listen at preprally.djournal.com, also on iTunes or your podcast app. And Thursday, a new episode of Double Coverage, Ole Miss and Mississippi State Sports Talk, with Parrish Alford and Logan Lowry. You can listen to that as well on iTunes, your podcast app, or at doublecoverage.djournal.com.
Also, don't forget about Thrive Marketing, a full-service digital marketing company located right here in Tupelo, providing websites, search engine optimization, social media management, text messaging, and email services. They're online at thrive.ms. Also online, you can find today's news memo. These stories are available at djournal.com or in your issue of today's Daily Journal. Crews have been working in the Sharon Hills neighborhood as part of the first phase of a plan to address ongoing drainage and flooding problems. As part of the first phase, the Tupelo Public Works Department has been laying culverts into open ditches on portions of Lynn Circle. The conversion of the open ditches into covered culverts is intended to help improve the flow of water on a fairly steep downhill section of Lynn Circle. In the next phase, a pair of detention ponds in the neighborhood will be targeted for some changes.
Middle school students will be able to wrap their minds around healthcare careers this summer. North Mississippi Medical Center will offer its annual Summer Health Academy on June 6th through the 10th. Interested students have until April 15th to apply. The program is open to those who have finished the 7th and 8th grades. It's designed to introduce students to the wide range of healthcare careers. The cost is $75, and the program is limited to 25 area students. Applications are available at local schools or online at nhms.net/youth_programs.php.
Got that. A comprehensive plan to improve highways and bridges across the state appears to be dead for the 2016 legislative session. Lawmakers were considering ways to increase revenue to pay for the improvements. House Transportation Committee Chairman Charles Busby said on Friday that members want to look at additional efficiencies in the Department of Transportation instead of approving a tax increase. Representative Steve Massengill of Hickory Flat made the plan one of his top priorities, but said it will probably be difficult to find support for it during the current four-year term.
81-year-old Tupelo resident Clifford Wilson reached a swimming milestone when he reached the 1 million yard mark at the Tupelo Aquatic Center last week. On average, Wilson swims 2,500 to 3,000 yards per day. He logs the data into a spreadsheet when he gets home. Wilson wakes up at 6 a.m. 3 to 5 days a week to warm up for his regular swim. Before jumping into the 50-meter pool, he also goes for a run and rides on his stationary bike. Aquatic Center Director Amy Kennedy said she hopes Wilson's steps lead others to track their swims so one day they can start a 1 million yard club.
Efforts are ongoing by Lee County leaders to address an overburdened youth court. County Court Judge Charles Brett hears the criminal and civil cases that fall under the purview of county court. He also acts as youth court judge. Court officials say the caseload he currently bears is not sustainable. A bill by State Senator Chad McMahon of Guntown would authorize Lee County supervisors to create the position of a youth court referee. That person would be authorized to act in the capacity of a youth court judge within a limited extent. However, Tupelo elected officials say they want to see other Lee County municipalities asked to share the burden of paying for the referee's salary.
It's Monday.
It is Monday. Mm-hmm. Oh, hey, that means crime reports.
Fake canned response.
Well, I'm getting good at that today, haven't I?
You are. You are just... Hey, give us a line from the show.
Give us... Oh, from the play?
Mm-hmm.
Who do you belong to, doggy?
What's your name, dude? Kind of a stupid name is that?
Clint Eastwood.
Mary, where's my mommy?
Back to your room, kid.
Back to your room, kid.
Before I fill you full of lead.
Oh, whoa, I didn't say that.
Whoa.
I'm a bad guy, but I'm not shooting the kid.
That's good.
Come on.
The kid's the only one that lives.
I shoot grown-ups.
Spoiler alert.
Just about.
No, I'm just kidding.
It's a Western. What'd you expect? Yeah. Hey, speaking of people surviving.
Hey, if you live out in Lee County, you're just trying to survive. Mm-hmm. No. We got some crime reports. We got several today. Let's start in Tupelo, though. A County Road 419 Tupelo woman said her husband started yelling at her.
Oh, I thought she started making Yelp accounts or something. What? I didn't know where we were going there.
She started
making all these Yelp accounts.
She won't stop sending me
requests.
Giving 5-star
reviews to terrible places.
She said her husband started yelling at her because she said something to him because he was eating. I need to start this whole report
over.
This
is terrible.
I can't.
I don't know what's happening. Who are these people?
I've had my coffee. Okay. Let me try that again.
Let me run it through.
What?
Let go. I want to hear it.
Okay.
Okay.
A County Road 419 Tupelo woman said her husband started yelling at her because she said something to him because he was eating their son's chicken wings.
So she started yelling at him because
he's eating.
That's a lot to process, but basically, she was screaming at him because he was eating the child's chicken wings.
Stop eating his wings!
Okay,
and he called the police.
Yeah, they called, and that's what's great. They called the police over that.
I made a Yelp review off of these chicken wings.
Maybe that's why he was eating them.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, someone was yelling. That could
5
be,
stars. Could have done without the.
Could have frightened her.
Meh, meh, meh. But the wings were good.
Yeah.
Would eat again.
I mean,
that
I've seems
had taking food out of your kid's mouth. Come on.
What is, I mean, it's just you ate the kid's chicken wings. I'm going to call the police.
Can't be doing that.
That does.
My kids have eaten my chicken wings plenty of times.
That's so ridiculous.
Give him his chicken wings. I'll call the police if you don't give him his wings.
Did you read the sports page before I got to it? I'm calling the police.
That's my dipping sauce.
At what point does the police officer go, no, I'm not coming out there? Y'all work that out amongst
yourselves. They call the police every time someone started yelling. I mean.
Oh, we got to go to the Henderson's house again. Listen to this, Chuck. This time he ate the kid's chicken wings.
I have teenage daughters, okay? If we call the police every time somebody yelled
but
at my
Dad.
House.
Dad!
They'd be out there all
the time.
How many
teenage daughters do you have, too?
I have three teenage daughters
three
at the moment.
Three teenage daughters
19,
at the moment.
19, 15, and almost 14.
Oh, the weddings.
Three teenage daughters. And now that the oldest who's in college.
That's a lot of estrogen going on.
She's actually living at home most nights now because of her job in Tupelo. She goes northeast, but uh-huh. She works in Tupelo, and it's just easier for her to spend the night
at
our house.
Just give her the baby. You keep the baby. Watch the baby.
Yeah, right.
She's here. Yeah. Room and board.
I wish it worked like that.
What bedrooms do you have in that house?
Not enough.
Ah.
She's having to share with little brother right now. Oh, because we gave her room to one of her sisters when she left.
We're going to college. Room away and I ate all your chicken wings, too. All right, what's happening next?
Kind of crowded, yeah. Here we go, Morville.
Uh-oh.
Bonnie Farm Road Morville woman said her dogs.
Bonnie Farm Road?
Bonnie Farm Road. That's the name of it.
Bonnie?
Bonnie.
Bonnie. Oh, it's like Bonnie Farm.
Bonnie Farm.
Like, oh, God.
Bonnie Farm Road.
Also known as a cemetery.
Bonnie Farm. Hey, Bonnie Farm Road.
Bonnie Farm.
Winds up on the reports quite often.
Bonnie Farm.
Anyway, a Morville woman said her dog started barking at 4:30 in the morning.
Oh, God.
So she called the police.
This is in Morville. When she looked out the window, she saw a tall, heavyset white man walking around in the yard. She told him to leave, and he walked away.
Into the woods?
Into the woods.
It doesn't say, but I'm just
and
assuming.
Out of the woods.
High five. They had to go into the woods, right?
I'm going back to the woods.
It's Morville. There's lots of woods around there.
A tall, heavyset white male.
At 4:30 in the morning. What?
Peace
I mean,
be with you, dogs. I mean, it's just.
I don't, what's going on there?
I just came for your children and your dogs.
Strange things are afoot. In Morville.
At the Circle K. If there were a Circle K in Morville, that would be even better.
Did it say he disappeared?
It just said walked away.
He walked away.
Hmm. Into the early morning light or
what
the
did
woods.
What did she say? Open the window. Get out!
She just said. She just asked him to leave.
I'm going
to
eat your chicken wings.
She told him to leave. Say, get out of here. Go back into the woods with all your other ghost friends.
Peace be with you. He just kind of disappeared into the night. Sort of. I'll see you later.
Oh, boy.
So creepy.
I feel like we need like a cast of characters, like a list of all these woods people
yeah,
so
we
can keep them all track.
We need to start doing that.
Like, I feel like we need one of those pool charts with the red yarn attaching everybody.
Right. We kind of do. We've got the crazy woman that wanted to kill the kids. We've got the guy that wanted to ride into town. We've got the guy that came back out of the woods to wave at the woman at the store. And now we've got this heavyset man. So, yeah, that's the working list we have.
So there's four people make a conspiracy. I'm just saying. I mean, we don't know that we have no reason to believe that any of these are the same people. So we believe that they are four different individuals.
They're connected.
And that is a conspiracy.
They're connected somehow. Who's our investigative reporter here at the Journal?
There get them on this. Is a,
Derek Russell.
I think it's Brad.
Chris Kiefer, you're
the mustached man.
Chris Kiefer is the Enterprise.
You're the Enterprise reporter.
Enterprise reporting editor.
You get on that.
I'll make some calls.
Yeah.
Managing editor for Enterprise Reporting in Morville.
Just in Morville.
Just Morville. That's where everything's happening.
We need you to focus on Morville.
Good thing it's
we
not
need to
Shannon.
Get spotlight in here.
That's just out of my territory.
Yeah. Let's go to Guntown. It's always fun in Guntown.
I'm still in Morville.
A Guntown man said a 54-year-old male drove up uninvited, got out of his car, and started cursing at him. The suspect became combative and had to be physically restrained. As the suspect was leaving, he fired three shots in the air. Like, is this the Old West?
We'll
meet again soon.
You've been playing a what bad guy too much.
Like Van Bellinger?
Although that was really ridiculous.
Yeah,
get on with you.
It's like,
remember that. I'm three-shot McGee, and I'll be back.
Reminded me of Ike Clanton in a Tombstone.
Yeah.
See you again.
Mm-hmm.
See you again soon. I love that Ike Clanton, every time he gets every time the stuff goes down, he just throws his gun down and runs away like
a... I'm three-shot McGee, yeah. And I'll be back. I'm going into the woods in Morville.
Now reemerge in Guntown. A County Road 521 Saltillo woman said there has been a loose donkey roaming the area for the last couple of weeks. It gets in her pasture and yard at times. Loose donkey.
What?
Donkey. I went to Shrek mode there. Donkey.
It's weird. We had a NBA versus a donkey. I don't think we talked about it on the show back about a week ago. Right in front of
the high school?
Right in front of Tupelo High.
What's a donkey doing out by Tupelo High?
NBA would be a motor vehicle accident. A car accident.
Yes.
1050. It's just for people who don't know the lingo.
Oh, I'm sorry. Let me fill you
also known as a 1050,
I was just talking to him. I wasn't talking to these people. So, it's a 1050.
Yeah, I think that's what it's called.
And everything's 1030 here.
1040. Go ahead.
No, it's just he's dead.
Okay. All right, well, it's not that donkey, because this isn't Saltillo.
You don't know.
Next and last report, a County Road 521 Saltillo man reported a tan donkey was in his yard. He called his neighbors, and no one knows who owns the donkey. I checked, and this is the same donkey. You can tell they both happened on County Road 521 in Saltillo and on two separate days, 2 days in a row. Haven't heard about the donkey since about middle of last week, so I don't know what happened to it.
When was that accident? Before this or after this?
Too far away, and I think it was a little before.
Yeah. Mm.
So we've got a donkey on the loose in Saltillo. So that's the police reports for today. You can read more of these at tipsheet.djournal.com. Donkeys on the loose.
Donkey
in Morville. That is such maybe a Mississippi
maybe
thing.
Maybe that's their mode of transportation from the woods. We came in by donkey.
I don't know.
And upset your dogs.
Man. Hey, did you see The Walking Dead last night? I just felt like I needed to talk about it. I need to work through some feelings.
That show is so
twisted,
stupid.
That's not stupid.
I gave up on season two.
Oh,
I hate
come
that
on!
Show.
My exact tweet
yesterday was: last night was WrestleMania and Walking Dead. If there was a NASCAR race yesterday, we hit the trifecta for things that I hate.
This season's been really good, man.
No, it's stupid. They didn't even give you an ending.
I did kind of hate the way it ended, but I understand.
Somebody died, but you're going to have to wait till next February or October to find out who.
Yeah.
Whenever they.
But I thought it was a pretty good episode. Last few episodes have been really good. I can't decide who I want to be.
Listen,
dead.
I can't, Carl, I can't show you like that Carl. Much interest in a show like that when we've got even freakier things going on in Morville.
True. Maybe they're zombies.
AMC go film a show out in those woods.
Yeah, yeah. Crew would never come back alive.
It's like a Twilight Zone, but the same thing keeps happening over and over again. Or just kind of the same thing keeps happening over and over again. No, to answer your question, I don't watch The Walking Dead, nor did I watch WrestleMania. Was there a NASCAR race yesterday?
There was at some point.
Sunday.
Yes.
Sunday's NASCAR day, right?
Trifecta for things that I loathe. I don't really loathe the wrestling. I just don't get it. I loathe the NASCAR.
Yeah, I used to really love NASCAR. Now I just don't watch it. I'm just kind of
a NASCAR fan.
I'm just kind of apathetic.
You enjoyed watching wrestling, things go in circles?
Wrestling I don't care for. I used to. I mean, you have to have a...
You get dizzy after a little while? No, it's fine.
You have to have a strong rooting interest, and I no longer have that.
But why? And
just enjoy it, especially if you're there in person. It's pretty cool.
That just sounds like the worst thing ever.
It's not. It's really fun to go to a race. I've gone to several. I've been to Talladega. I've been to Charlotte.
Race. I mean, it's not like a... It's not a straight line.
It's still a race.
Circle. I don't understand.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I get that you don't understand.
I've never gotten it.
Yeah. I mean, it's not like baseball for me. I mean, baseball is just my favorite sport ever. NASCAR is nowhere close to that, but I appreciate
it. It's not a sport.
It's big, fast car.
It's
what?
It's not a sport.
What's not a sport?
NASCAR.
I'd call it a sport. It's a race. Racing is the most basic sports thing.
I mean, we're getting real lackadaisical on that term if we're calling that a sport.
It's a sport more than golf is, I'll tell you that.
Have you ever seen
Craig Stadler?
Them's fighting words.
Have you ever seen Craig Stadler? Now, you could say that about some NASCAR drivers. Although, I've noticed NASCAR drivers over the past few years have gotten younger and fitter. Okay, you don't see a bunch of Dick Trickles out there anymore.
What I don't understand, and I was bets being made on things, and then I see like yesterday the highest bets were being made on was the 39th or 40th WrestleMania last night. Why are you betting on things that are scripted and already have a proposed outcome?
Seriously,
I've already got a bet on which one of you is going to die first in the Peacemakers.
I'll take that bet. You already know. That's like betting on WrestleMania.
That's what we call easy money.
But it'd be the same thing. It'd be like betting on which one of us dies at WrestleMania. It's already planned. It's not impromptu. It's not ad lib. It's not like a football game where.
Wait, you mean it's fake?
Yes.
What?
Those guns we have are.
No, I was talking about the WrestleMania.
Wrestling's fake, Brad.
Wait, we're not using real bullets on opening night? Dang it.
I hope we didn't change them out in somebody's gun. We're going to have a Brandon Lee type situation.
I was told we're not
going to.
How are you going to do five shows that way?
We're not
going
to use the fake.
We did one show, one night only.
We're not going to use the fake blood. I figured we had to do something. Real bullets.
Well, when you're wearing so many layers of clothing, the blood doesn't really get to come. Why are they betting on WrestleMania? That's what I'm just trying to figure out.
That makes no sense.
Who won?
I don't know.
The Undertaker.
Is there a winner? Are there multiple matches?
I think the Undertaker won. Yeah, there are multiple matches.
I don't know how it works. I never got into it.
Well, two men get in a ring, one man.
I know how it works. I don't know how WrestleMania works specifically. I just could never.
It's about as easy to figure out as NASCAR.
Sure it is. I had a bunch of friends that were into it. You know, I grew up in the 80s when it was big back then, too.
Well, back then it wasn't as fake.
Oh, it was fake. They wouldn't acknowledge it.
Well, there was some realism towards it, too. Now it's just ridiculous. Now the Muppets host every once in a while. I mean, which the Muppets are real. I'm not saying they're fake. I'm just saying that
obviously.
Never mind. I'm just going to be quiet.
Okay. Good show, Derek.
I don't understand. It was just, as Sunday drug on yesterday, I was like, oh, there's another thing that I don't like happening today.
Yeah. Your loss on The Walking Dead.
No, from what I saw on Twitter, not my loss because people were angry.
Yeah, well, that's understandable.
I saw a lot of anger,
but I thought it was a good episode.
I enjoyed laughing.
Now that the season's over, maybe I can catch up on Bates Motel. I'm behind on that one.
I only watched the premiere.
That's my favorite show currently. I'd have to say that or Better Call Saul. It's neck and neck.
I haven't watched any Better Call Saul this season.
It's a great show. It's gotten better.
Oh,
even,
I love season
even
one.
Even better than it was.
I love season one.
Yeah, me too.
Why are we
now.
Talking about this? We're wasting audio.
I don't know. Okay, we should go now.
Audio is very precious. It's like
there's only
fuels.
So much space on the internet.
I know. And your mustache takes up half of it.
All right, follow us on Twitter at DJournalMemo. Follow the Daily Journal on Twitter at DJournalNow and catch all the news, entertainment, sports that you need to know about Northeast Mississippi at DJournal.com. Derek is on Twitter at W Derek Russell.
Find me. Oh, you gave him. Never mind.
You were sitting back, and I just thought I'd give the address since you were being too lazy to do it.
You didn't. Never mind. Chris Kiefer. I thought you weren't giving the address, so I was going to be like, you'll never find me. You'll never take me, copper.
Chris Kiefer at Chris Kiefer. And we got another show coming Wednesday.
I'm sorry, at Bradlock. We have to give you yours.
Oh, I did that, didn't I?
Oh, did you?
Yeah, whatever.
I kind of tuned you out.
Okay.
Chris says yes.
Okay.
You did it.
Chris says no.
Okay. Another show coming Wednesday.
95.
Show number 95.
Wednesday. Get those ideas in for 100.
We got 2 weeks.
I say we shave him. For
I'm supposed to shave next Monday night after the last show.
You're not saying Rachel, you got to wait another week.
I'll grow it back. Be fine.
I'll talk to the wife. I think we should save it for 100.
Oh yeah, good luck with that. Yeah, too. Good luck getting her to let me save it.
That's not that much longer.
It's another whole other week.
Like that's fine. It's 1 week.
It's 2 weeks from today. It's the 100th episode, right? Okay.
2 weeks.
So 18. I say public shaving. As just one of the many things we offer on episode 100.
Public shaving.
And I say Neil McCoy does it.
Periscope it.
I know, which is a lot. Yeah, yeah.
Periscope the shaving.
And we have Neil do it.
Neil McCoy.
Who? Cha-ching. Neil McCoy?
Neil McCoy.
Oh, Neil McCoy.
Executive Director for Tupelo Convention Visitors Bureau? Yeah. Neil McCoy?
The tourism
Neil
guy.
McCoy?
Neil what? McCoy.
Oh.
Neil, Mr. Tourism McCoy. Oh. That's what I call him.
Tourism.
Tourism. What do you think I said?
You said terrorism.
No, I said tourism.
You said terrorism.
I'm not trying to imply that Neil's a terrorist. He is not. I said tourist.
You said terrorism. Tourism. Goodbye, everybody.
All right. Bye.